Welcome to the Monitor Daily Podcast. It's Tuesday, June 8th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Kim Campbell.
And I'm Jing Nanpeng.
How can communities and police departments build trust? If you've been reading our Respect Project in recent weeks, you might be anticipating this answer: conversations and listening. One place both of those are happening is on a podcast called Three Cops Talk, launched last year by a trio of officers, Chris, Scott, and Sean. The Illinois-based show has more than 30 episodes. Very little is off limits, as the wide range of topics shows: use of force, gun control, police training, active shooter situations. The hosts aim to be transparent, evidenced in segments like Ask a Cop Anything, and episodes like the engaging two-parter with an African-American father and son one of the hosts knows. For more than 2 hours, the men talk together honestly, at times colorfully, about race and policing. They focus on solutions and, in keeping with the show's subtitle, Rebuilding Community Trust. Chris asks the father about creating understanding between officers on the street and the public. How or where do you think we could start? The father suggests officers could intervene when those they work with are out of line. Later, the hosts take turns responding when the father asks how they were in their early years on the job and how they might have responded to what they thought was a car full of gang members. Our news feeds are rarely filled with interactions like this. Chris wants to see more of them. We need to sit down as a community, and we have to have a conversation. Now, today's stories. Our first story. One of the main lessons of the 2020 presidential election was that ordinary officials, partisans themselves, can be among American democracy's most powerful protectors. Will new election laws prevent that from happening in the future?
To political scientists and many election experts and administrators, the wave of recently passed or proposed state laws sweeping the nation in the wake of former President Donald Trump's attempts to overturn his loss is deeply concerning. It's not just the provisions in these bills that, in some instances, would make it harder to vote. It's that many of the bills also target election administration in ways that might make it easier for a losing candidate to jam a stick in the wheels of democratic processes. It's a very scary moment to see this trend, says Adam Ambrogi, director of the Elections and Voting Program at Democracy Fund, a nonpartisan foundation that focuses on American democracy's challenges. Is it possible to defend against the risk of election interference or manipulation? Last week, Democratic lawyer Bob Bauer and Republican lawyer Jack Goldsmith, who together headed the Presidential Commission on Election Administration, announced that they would organize the legal defense of any election official who may come under siege from the new laws. In the New York Times, they wrote, "The defense of the electoral process is not a partisan cause, even where there may be reasonable disagreements between the parties about specific voting rules and procedures." This story was reported by Peter Greer for The Monitor.
How do you recover from war when the rebuilding itself is political? That's the plight of Gazans who lost homes and livelihoods in a short conflict with Israel, but face barriers on the long path ahead.
According to the United Nations, in the 11 days of fighting between Israel and Hamas, Gazans saw 1,200 housing units destroyed and 15,000 homes damaged. Electricity cuts have forced offices and businesses that survived Israeli strikes to shutter, and drinking water is in short supply. The Biden administration is pushing for reconstruction, and Egypt and Qatar have already pledged $1 billion. But amid wrangling among Palestinian factions, Israel, and regional powers, Gazan's ability to rebuild and start anew is being held hostage to politics and security concerns. In early May, Mohammed Sultan was anticipating a June wedding. And for the past 2 years, he has been building a small apartment above his parents' home in Gaza City in preparation. Yet all was lost when his family's home was hit by an Israeli missile strike. He says he is not hopeful that international pledges will result in widespread reconstruction, let alone help him rebuild his home. His wedding, for now, is off. "My dream was about to come true," Mr. Sultan says. "I promised my fiancé that we will soon be together after 2 years of waiting. But now I have no words to tell her." This story was reported by Isra Nami in Maghazi refugee camp, Gaza, and Taylor Luck in Amman, Jordan, for The Monitor.
In many states, the ballot initiative is a fixture of politics. Yet as a legal tangle in Mississippi reveals, this symbol of direct democracy often faces pressure from other political institutions.
Last fall, 74% of Mississippi voters approved of Initiative 65 to legalize medical marijuana in the Magnolia State. But recently, the Mississippi Supreme Court struck down the measure and future ballot measures on the legal technicality. Under state law, for a signature drive to successfully put a measure on the ballot, 1/5 of the required signatures must come from each of the state's 5 congressional districts. The problem? Since 2002, there have only been 4 congressional districts in the state. Mississippi finds itself as the latest state where tension has emerged between institutions of government and the notion that citizens can have a direct say on issues through the ballot box. The divides don't always follow predictable patterns, but some experts say they are particularly evident now in conservative-controlled states. Corrine Rivera Fowler of the watchdog group Ballot Initiative Strategy Center puts it this way. "We are living in a time where the ballot initiative is being used as a tool for liberation. It's being used to pass progressive policies in conservative majority states, where the legislatures seem to be out of touch with the needs of their constituents." This story was reported by Xander Peters in Jackson, Mississippi, for The Monitor.
In the U.S., schools have increasingly dropped testing requirements for college applicants. Across the pond, the UK is facing similar calls to consider a more holistic approach to assessing students.
In the United Kingdom, there is new momentum in favor of scrapping decades-old tests, in favor of a more comprehensive and fairer way of assessing students for university placement and jobs. In what some see as an opportunity to enact the most fundamental education reform since World War II, educators are looking for ways to measure student capabilities that are more accurate than the one-size-fits-all exam approach that has prevailed for generations. Tests, such as the A-levels, are widely seen as favoring privately educated students. The push for new models, echoing a similar move away from requiring exams like the SAT in the United States, also reflects a desire to better measure aptitude and potential for UK students in England, Wales, and Northern Ireland, and the more than 175,000 foreign pupils in the more than 125 countries around the world who take the international version of A-level exams. Bill Lucas, a learning expert at the University of Winchester and an advisory group member of the advocacy group Rethinking Assessment, says, "I'm always wary of talking of revolutions because they tend to throw out the baby with the bathwater. But we're at a tipping point. Educators are thinking this is a really interesting moment to take stock." This story was reported by Scott Peterson in London and Connie Fung in New York for The Monitor.
As fresh as a summer breeze, this month's 10 best books invite readers into the lives of people seeking truth and compassion, fighting injustice, and finding themselves. Biographies of two historical figures offer deeply nuanced and complex characterizations, which lend insight. You can find the complete list of the Monitor's June book picks in today's issue. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on a bid for peace at the Biden-Putin summit. After 10 years of civil war against a brutal regime, half of the people in Syria have voted with their feet. They have fled to nearby countries or to areas still controlled by anti-regime forces. Now, with fighting at an ebb, these displaced millions are caught in a power struggle between the United States and Russia to end the war, a struggle that could be decided at a summit June 14th between President Joe Biden and President Vladimir Putin. This first summit between the two leaders will deal with many issues. Not the least is whether Syria's future will be decided by the tools of war or the tools of peace. The U.S. and Russia both have forces in this pivotal Mideast state. But last week, the Biden administration made a bid to deploy a tool of peace. It announced $240 million in new humanitarian aid to Syria's displaced population. Not all wars are fought with weapons. Aiding innocent civilians with food, houses, schooling, and hope for the future can reaffirm their role in defining the peace. That's a wrap for the news. You can find the full-length versions of these stories in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. Thanks for joining us today. Come back tomorrow when we explore how chaplains are offering guidance and counseling to help support transit workers. Finally, we invite you to meet the humanitarians solving community problems. Meet your fellow Monitor subscribers. Join the conversations at Community Connect. On this page, you can see panel discussions, Q&A interviews, and audio reporter profiles. All are included in your subscription. It's our way of connecting you with the work of Good Samaritans in the world. In today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective, our contributor shares how turning to God's ever-present love and goodness dispels fear and insecurity. You can find the column in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. We want to give a quick thanks to our staff, including today's audio production team, Jeff Turton and Tyler Bay.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2021.